Praise God. It's been on my mind as I've been reading and meditating on this particular passage of Scripture that God still works miracles. I know we say that all the time, hopefully this will sink deep down into our spirits and we'll really believe in our own personal needs, whatever that they might be, that God can work miracles in our behalf. Amen. Praise the Lord. So whatever you're in need of tonight, commit it to the Lord. I was reading before I read from 1 Kings, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about the evidences of an apostolic ministry. And that should be our prayer. Lord, give us that kind of a ministry, an apostolic ministry. And by that, I mean a ministry where there are signs, wonders, and miracles. It says in 2 Corinthians 12 and 12, signs, wonders, and mighty deeds, and the word literally means miracles. Signs and wonders and miracles. That would be the evidence that God is at work and that we have truly an apostolic ministry. God moving by His Spirit. Amen. Now, I know that a lot of people say well, the days of the apostles are over. But we have to remember that in Ephesians chapter 4, that there is that fivefold ministry that's mentioned there. In verse 11, apostle, prophet, evangelists, pastors, teachers, all that fivefold ministry that is a gift to the church, and that includes an apostolic ministry, amen, whereby there are signs and wonders and miracles that God is performing, amen. So I believe we need to take hold of that promise from God's word in your individual situation, in your life, your needs, whatever it is that is the burden of your heart. And as I was going through all these different ones that we've prayed for throughout the year this year, and there's many others that we didn't mention, but some of these were critical, life-threatening situations that it seemed overwhelming. I remember when we walked into Jonathan Carper's room up there in Northern Kentucky, it was just so overwhelming to see a young man in the terrible condition that he was in, and the doctors not giving much hope in his recovery. And when you see that, then you're overwhelmed with your frailness and your need and your weakness. But God is not subject to our physical limitations. God can move mightily in the worst of circumstances. Amen. It's a wonderful story here, a wonderful account in the ministry of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 8. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks. I'm telling you, she's specific on her lack. I don't have anything. I've got a little bit of meal, a little bit of oil, and two sticks. My predicament is bleak. That I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Our last meal We're going to starve to death. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Praise God. Elijah's ministry was a miraculous ministry. It was a ministry like we would describe as far as the New Testament is concerned. It was like the ministry of the apostles, only in the Old Testament. His prophetic ministry was filled with great power, great supernatural works, mighty miracles that were performed in his life and his ministry. But notice that the miracles that were performed in every season of his life were performed in dark and difficult times and very hard times. At the time that the greatest power was demonstrated in his life, Ahab is the king, and the Bible says that he was the most evil. He did more evil than any of the kings of Israel before him. I mean, he was the most wicked and evil of the kings, and he's married to Jezebel, who is a Baal worshiper that's bringing the worship of idols into Israel. And so what a combination, what a couple they are to bring destruction and evil to Israel. But God raised up Elijah in the midst of that dark, dark circumstance. Amen. Be encouraged that all around us, there's all kinds of reasons to be discouraged, and there's a lot of darkness in our world, but God delights in showing himself strong and mighty in the midst of dark days. Amen. And we can expect and believe God for the miraculous. And so he stood, Elijah stood and prophesied judgment upon Israel, a famine, no rain for 3 years. That was the common thing that would happen whenever the nation of Israel would come under judgment. Then the rain would stop and famine would set in, and there would be desperation until they would finally cry out to God for mercy, and God would forgive them. Elijah was a man, the Bible says in James, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Why did he do that? He prayed because he saw the conditions of Israel. He saw what was happening under Ahab and Jezebel, and he wanted the nation to make a turnaround, to turn back to God. And he was willing to suffer himself, even in a time of famine. And so he prayed a powerful prayer, and that prayer shut up the heavens, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. So the drought came, and all of the nation of Israel is suffering under this terrible circumstance. But the amazing thing is that in the middle of the drought, when there's no rain and there's no provision, that God put Elijah where he needed to be to sustain him. Amen. He put him in the place where the miracles were going to take place. He put him by the brook Cherith, where there was going to be a provision of water. He sent the ravens to bring him food. And the miracle came in such an unlikely season. And so for you and I, right now, we can believe God for the miraculous. And even in an unlikely season, Even when there's a lot of sin and evil and darkness in our world, that doesn't mean that God has forsaken you or forgotten you. God can help you and can help us in this particular time and season that we're in right now. And then the brook dried up. God often gives direction by provision or the lack of provision. When the brook dried up, then he knew, God doesn't want me here anymore. He put me here for a provision of water to sustain me. But now the brook has dried up, so he's directing me to move on. And he said from our text here in in chapter 17, in verse number 8, that the word of the Lord came to him and told him to go to a place called Zarephath. Interesting enough, that city of Zarephath was a very unlikely place for God to demonstrate his power. Zarephath was the hometown of Jezebel. That's where she learned all about Baal worship. And the whole city was filled with Baal worship. But God says, go to Zarephath. It's a bad place. It's a dark place. It's filled with idol worship. And it's a very unlikely place. And it's a very unlikely time for God to show himself powerful. But he does in the midst of this bad situation. Go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And it's almost as if God is saying, I'm going to show you what I can do in the worst and the most bleak situation. The most awful situation. A famine in the land. Everybody is starving. And the one that is going to help you in a land full of idols is a widow woman. One widow woman that today it's a lot different for someone that is a widow, but in that particular time in the Bible times, a widow would be completely destitute. They would have no resources. They would be so poor, and they would be the least likely person to ever be able to help you in the time of a famine. And so he sends him to this woman. And notice that it says, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. In the midst of all of that idolatry, all of that wickedness, apparently this woman communicated with God. She must have had a relationship with the true and the living God, because God could talk to her and God could speak to her, and even in her desperate situation. So it was an unlikely season. It was an unlikely place. And she is an unlikely person to be used of God to provide a miracle. She was poor. She was hopeless. It was a time of famine. And they were in this wicked city of idolatry. I mean, everything is saying this is not the place to get help. But God sent Elijah there, because he had a purpose. God saw her, and God had already spoken to her. And so obviously, she must have had a relationship with God. She heard the voice of the Lord speaking to her and preparing her even before this happened. When he sees her, he says, fetch me a drink of water. It was a test of obedience. Her willingness to obey in the most dire of circumstances was proving the fact that God had his eye on this woman. God had his eye on this widow woman. And get me a drink of water. She goes to get it. And as she is going, it's almost as if the prophet is being awfully presumptuous. Get me a drink of water. Oh, and by the way, and bring me a cake to eat while you're going, to get me the water. And her response is, I have nothing. Do you understand that when you are down to nothing, you have nothing and you have no resource and nowhere else to turn, many times God allows you to get in that position so that he can show himself strong. And when you see God come through for you, you can say, well, I know it wasn't the doctors, and I know it wasn't any other resource. I know it had to be God that came through for me, because there was no way I was going to be able to come out of this thing. She said, I have nothing. I don't have anything to give to you. And God delights in showing himself strong in our weakness. Praise God for that. In our weakness, God demonstrates his mighty power. Let me tell you, God had his eye on this little widow woman and her little son. As a matter of fact, he, in Luke chapter 4, he uses this woman as a sermon illustration of the fact that they were rejecting Jesus and rejecting his ministry, and was saying, this is a woman that out of all of that region, there were all kinds of widows in that area, but this woman received help. This woman was saved. Luke chapter 4 and verse 25 and 26. But I tell you the truth, many, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. This was a woman that God had his eyes upon her. Praise God. Amen. I want you to be encouraged tonight that the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro. His eyes are upon you. They're upon each one of you, and especially if you find yourself destitute and desperate and hopeless, and you have tried everything and there doesn't seem to be a solution or an answer, his eye is upon you. His eye is upon the person that is desperately in need of help from the Lord. Praise God. She said, all I've got is just this little handful of meal. All I've got is a little oil, and I've got two sticks. I'm only going to be able to make a pitiful little meal with a pitiful little fire. It's not going to be much. We're going to barely eke out just a little bit for us. And then that's it. We're going to die. This famine is going to take our lives as well. But God's eyes was upon her. Not only was God providing for Elijah that day, but he was also going to provide for her that day. But not just for that day. He was going to sustain her until the end of the famine. Praise God. You talk about a miracle that God will take what you have, the smallest, meager thing that you have. A lot of people have that idea. Well, I could never do anything for the Lord. I could never see something great and mighty accomplished through my life or my efforts. But never, ever limit what God can do when you offer him even the smallest gift that you have, even the smallest thing that you have. When you put it in the hands of the Lord, he can make a miracle out of it. Praise God. God wants to work a miracle, supernatural miracles for you and for me and for the people of God in an unlikely season, in an unlikely place, with an unlikely person, and show himself mighty and powerful and bring about a miraculous intervention. Praise God. God's not only interested in your present need, but he knows about your future need as well. Amen. He knows about what you're going to need even when you don't even know what the future holds. He knows what we're going to face tomorrow and next week and next month and in the months ahead or the years ahead. He already knows, and he can make preparation for that and provision for that down the road. Amen. Praise God. God can work supernaturally in your behalf. Amen. When we see something that seems impossible. There's a song that we play on the radio station that says, impossible is where he starts. Impossible is where God starts. God moves whenever we throw up our hands and we say, Lord, we don't have much. We don't have anything to offer you. We can't do anything about this. It's too big of a need, too great of a problem. We can't do anything about it. We're like that widow woman who said, I've got a little handful of meal, just a little bit of oil. I've got two sticks. It's meager. It's pitiful. I don't have anything. But if you'll just give your meager little gift to the Lord, your small little ability to the Lord, give it to him. Amen. Too often we make excuses and say, I could never do anything from the Lord. I don't have that gift. I don't have that ability. I don't have that talent. I can't do it. Give him what you've got. Give him what you have. It might seem small, but God can take that small amount and turn it into a miracle in your life. Amen. That's where God is just getting started. When you're saying this is impossible, it's impossible. That's when God is just getting started, like he did for Jonathan Carper, like he did for Sister Harris, and how he did for Brother Jeremy Sipe, and how he's done for Jeannie, and how he's done for Jennifer. All of these that we've prayed for that seemed impossible, but God is able to work in impossible situations. I love this quote from Hudson Taylor. He said, three steps to a great work for God. Three steps to a great work for God. Number one, it's first impossible. Number two, then it's difficult. And number three, then it's done. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. It's impossible, then it's difficult, and then it's done. Amen. We wanted to think, well, this is the easy road. I want God to make it all easy for us. But this woman had to be willing to take a tremendous step of faith and obedience. Her last meal, her last little bit, she had to be willing to give it to God, to give it and make the meal for the prophet of God first. And then he said, then it's going to be plenty for you and your son. She had no idea how God was going to work. She had no idea that God was going to supernaturally provide, and that that meal was never going to run out until the end of the famine. It went on and on and on. It doesn't say exactly, but it went on for a while after that. And day after day, week after week, that meal barrel remained full, and the oil remained full. And the provision of the Lord was there every day sustaining her because of her willingness to put it in the hands of the Lord. Give what she had to God and watch him then multiply it and do something with it. Amen. That applies to every one of us here. Amen. Every one of us who you think what I do in my small amount of contribution to the work of the kingdom of God, it's not much. It's so small. But if you'll just be obedient to the Lord, if you'll obey the Lord, do what you can, then God takes that little amount and he multiplies it. He makes a miracle out of it. He demonstrates his power in your life, and you look on with amazement at how God can take what was impossible and then difficult and then done, accomplished, for the glory of God. Hallelujah. That's the God of miracles that we serve. And that's the kind of ministry that we pray for and ask the Lord. Lord, that every time we come together, there are people that come in who have needs, who have problems, who need healing, that need all different kinds of needs. But Lord, give us an apostolic ministry that we believe, Lord, that you can work supernaturally. And you can do miracles, Lord. And you can take impossible circumstances and turn it around for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. God still works miracles. He still works miracles, but it requires that you and I make an investment. It requires that you and I take a step of obedience. Don't just sit back thinking, Lord, change this, work a miracle in this. No, he's looking for you to say, okay, Lord, I'll do what I can. I'll contribute what I can. I'll give what I can. And then, Lord, you take my small, meager amount and you do something with it. Praise God. Amen. So every effort that's put forth, it's not wasted. Every seed that is sown, it's not wasted. Everything we're attempting to do on these Saturday outreaches, it's not wasted. It's valuable investment. It may seem small. It may seem like there's not a lot of fruit that you can see the affected by it. Keep pressing. Amen. Keep on investing. Keep on giving. Keep on pouring out. Even the smallest amount can be multiplied by the supernatural hand of God, and he can touch the lives of many people for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Impossible, difficult, and done. Amen. I believe that, don't you? I do. I believe that God wants to work supernaturally in our behalf. Let's stand together tonight. Lord, you know every person and every need in this sanctuary tonight. You know, Lord, the physical needs. You know the family needs, the financial needs. You know everything, Lord, that each individual is facing, Lord, in their health, Lord, in their life circumstance, Lord. You are able, Lord, but help us to be willing to step out in faith and obey your voice and to give, Lord, what we have, even though it may be small, and invest it in the kingdom of God. Bless, Lord, I pray, everyone in this place tonight, Lord, with supernatural power and miracles in their life, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord bless you all tonight.